In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims from around the world, hello and welcome to Ma'aref Radio, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran. At the beginning, I want to say that you can visit our website on www.radiomaref, spelled as maaref.ir. You can also send your questions through emails to radiomaref@irib.ir. The expert invited to this program, as usual, is Dr. Hojjatul Islam Barati, who is ready to answer the questions in this program, questions and answers. Dr. Barati, thank you very much for coming to the studio, and if you got any greeting for the listeners, they're ready.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. I'm grateful to be with you and with listeners, dear listeners. That's my fortune to be with you and answer your question.
Thank you very much. As the first question is about the creatures. It said that God has created so many creatures around the world, in fact, like animals, dinosaurs. But what is the purpose of God to create such things which are not related to, for example, the food circle or humans eat? Is there any explanation for the dinosaurs and what happens to animals when they die since they are living being so? In fact, I think he's talking about the presence of the soul and the spirit of the animals.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a very good question, but we are analyzing it in which kind of view. We want to find all benefits and interests based on our life, man's life, or in another way, I can say, is there a kind of egocentrism in this kind of view? Means that man is the center of the world and everything should be in his benefit, or no? The benefit should come back to the creatures themselves. So if we find and we select the view, we can answer to this question easily. If you want to suppose that all benefits should come back to the man.
That's right.
Also, these kind of benefits are gradually achieved. You cannot, for example, if you want a child, you should go and marry, and then little by little, the stages pass, and then you find your child is born. Also, if this kind of life on the planet is existing now, it is passed through different stages, geophysics.
That's right.
Stages, or for example, life of the earth, the planet, and the whole celestial life, and cosmology.
That's right.
This kind of growth and rising happened for this world through stages and through a history. So all of these things were necessary in this process to come to this situation. Like, for example, egg. You find what is the benefit of this cover, this hard cover of egg. If this hard cover was not existing, you could not have the chicken.
That's right.
Okay? So in both of the views, you can analyze it. Either if you want to analyze it only by finding the base of benefit for mankind, you can analyze it. And even if you have another wider view, that benefits and interests are not only for man, maybe some of them returns to the creatures themselves. So it is clear that existence is better for them because they can enjoy life, they can find, for example, pleasures for themselves. So maybe for animals, life is to achieve pleasures.
That's right.
To achieve, for example, a field of movement or life or enjoying in this life. Also, this is visible and clear.
That's right. And about the spirits and the souls of animals, are animals spirited like human beings?
Not in this level, but they have another level, lower level of life and soul and soul, you mean soul?
Yes, that's
not
right.
A spirit, soul. Yes, they have another type of soul, lower, by abilities and powers, it is called animal soul.
That's right.
But man has man soul.
Which is on a higher level. And another question that I myself asked you is that, are animals going to be judged?
Of course, this world is world of justice. Everything according to its possibility and knowledge and freedom and option is judged and is rewarded or punished according to its intellect, freedom,
that's right,
and possibility is rewarded or punished.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next question is about the crescent. Why crescent is the symbol of Islam? In fact, where does it have root? Why is it this crescent, in fact, the symbol of Islam?
I think this kind of symbol is not selected by Islam itself, not by Quran or Prophet or early Muslims. These recent years and ages, when everybody, every nation wanted to select a symbol for himself or for themselves, they selected this for Islam. Because Christians choose the cross for themselves.
That's right.
When you say the cross or see the cross, directly you can
recognize that this belongs to Christianity.
Islam, they looked for something that is only for Islam, special to Islam, is monopolized for Islam. They found that Islamic rituals are regulated according to lunar calendar, to solar calendar.
That's right.
For example, beginning of fasting is the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan is a lunar month. Or for example, Hajj is on 10th of Zilhijjah. 9th and 10th of Zilhijjah. Zilhijjah is a lunar month. So this is unique in the world. In all the religions of the world, you can find only Islam based the rituals, worships, ibadat, on lunar months. So the Hilal is crescent, is the beginning of a lunar month. So they chose this for Islam and Islamic culture.
Don't we have any other symbol for Islam?
We can find many symbols, but this is accepted now, populated now in the world.
That's because of the lunar calendar.
Lunar calendar.
Okay, thank you very much. La ilaha illallah, malikul haqqul mubin. La ilaha illallah, malikul haqqul mubin. La ilaha illallah, ملك الحق المبين. لا إله إلا الله ملك الحق المبين. The next question, which is of course not a religious one but mostly a scientific one, is about the Darwin theories of evolution. I said that during a discussion, a friend of mine claimed that human beings came from apes. That is, in fact, what Darwin discussed about it, Darwin theories of evolution. This led to heated argument and a scar in friendship. May I ask who were the first human beings on Earth? Whom did they worship and who was their God?
Before we enter to answering these questions, we should come back and find the borders or the zones for religion and science.
That's right.
Especially in this new life and new ages, recent ages and centuries, which a kind of revolution happened in Europe. They called it Renaissance, and they are emphasizing and they are trusting on science. They call it science.
That's right.
Science is experimental
science
knowledge.
Science and Scientology, that's right.
Yes, experimental knowledge only. They don't believe in anything, but if it is approved through experimental knowledges and through witness.
Concrete.
Through senses.
Yes, that's right.
They don't believe in other things, for example, approved by conduction, or for example inference, or argumentation, for example wisdom, or for example rational arguments. No. These are not accepted totally in the West, in the Western world, new world, modern world of the West. They don't accept it. They say these are not true at all. We don't believe in them, even including religion. Religion is not accepted. Philosophy is not accepted. Mysticism is not accepted in this view.
That's right.
They only believe in science, and science means for them experimental knowledge and senses, what senses approve. This is a kind of thinking, a kind of cognition in the West accepted. So sometimes we talk about the issue through the eyes of modern knowledge, modern science, and sometimes we are talking about this issue through eyes of religion or philosophy or mysticism. These are two zones, two worlds, two different type of vision and knowledge. We cannot mix them. But sometimes they find common issues to discuss about.
That's right.
For example, theory of Darwin is commented and argued in science, is argued in religion. By science and scientific language, we have another discussion. By religion and religious view and religious language, we have another discussion for this. I think that for your further knowledge, there is no contradiction between these two languages and two visions at all, because they are living in different worlds, in different zones, and different languages, different visions. So what is meant now? You mean Darwin's theory by biology, or you mean Darwin's theory by religion?
That's right.
Darwin's theory by biology is not approved 100%, even as a thesis, because theses in modern science are not 100%, for example, sure or certain. Even Darwin's theory even is not a theory, because theory and thesis should have, for example, elements.
Principles
to become theses or theories. Even Darwin, he himself told, my theory is not complete. To become a theory, maybe every day is in, for example, is possible to change. Maybe today Darwin brings a theory, tomorrow somebody else comes and denies it.
That's right.
And brings, approves and documents that it is not true. Even it is not a theory, a complete theory. It was abused by Marxists for a while, for maybe about one century, and left. Now again, some people in the United States of America are raising it again and renewing it. Even it is not complete. Neo-Darwinism is not complete by scientific language and vision. In Islam, no problem. If Darwin's theory is accepted, is approved, it is not against our religion. If it is rejected and denies, it is not a harm or a problem for religion, because religion is talking by another language.
That's right.
And there is no verse in Quran, in Holy Quran, that opposes theory of Darwin. Or there is no verse in Quran that approves theory of Darwin. And even if it is approved or not approved, belongs to the field of science, experimental science. So I don't know what is the core of question and the soul of questions. If you repeat it for me, if you know what is now demanded and asked.
In fact, it is pure. I told you that it is pure scientific. It's not that much religious. It says that because he is believing, in fact, in religion, and one of his friends not, there was an argument between them. And somehow I was thinking about the Darwin theories of evolution, that was a creature. According to the text of Holy Quran and according to the Islamic traditions, human beings, it is not mentioned in fact in the Holy Quran that human beings were created from apes. Is it true or not?
Yes, it is not mentioned in this language.
But according, as you said, in the scientific, in fact, version of the Darwin theory, even the scientists do not approve such a theory. Okay.
Darwin, he himself told that I left one circle in this chain, I could not find it. If in future you found it, please complete my theory.
That's
my
right.
Theory is not completed because I lack one circle. In this chain, there are circles.
That's right.
To make this chain. One circle is left and is not discovered till now.
That's right. For the next question, it is about the interaction with the Muslims. With non-Muslims. How the Muslims are going to interact the Muslims. What's the matter?
Interaction with non-Muslims is recommended. And also being good with them, treat them good, is recommended. This was the method of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was kind and cordial to all people, even to his enemies.
That's right.
Even to those who torture him and his followers. Be good even with people who do bad to you. If you follow this way, you make all of your enemies your friends.
That's
this
right.
is what Quran recommends to people.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next question is about the period after death. Somehow, maybe they're about the resurrection. What comes after death? Do we judge? Are we judged by Allah immediately after our death, or what happens with our souls? What happens to our souls?
We are judged in different levels and stages.
That's right.
In our life. Before we die, we are judged. Some of rewards and punishments we receive them in this life, before the death. Some of rewards and punishments we receive them in period after death, before the resurrection day. Resurrection day, according to Islam, is a day which combines and collects and makes the whole generations to gather. Awwalin wal akhirin. The first generations and the last generations. And the early ages generations and the last ages generations. Also, they receive their final judgment, their final rewards and punishments on that day, and they are divided in groups. Those who are good go to heaven, and those who are bad go to the hell. So always we are receiving our punishments and rewards. Always, even now.
That's right.
Immediately after we finish, for example, an action, we start to receive the reward or punishment. Reaction.
So, and the nature of the rewards and the punishments in the day of Allah and the here, are they different or not?
Of course.
How is it?
Some of them are spiritual and psychological. Some of them are physical.
That's right.
Like, for example, a farmer, when he or she, for example, puts the seed or the plant in the ground, starts to find back his rewards and his achievements. Also, all of the deeds in Islam are like seeds.
That's right.
Deeds are like seeds.
Thank you. The next question, which was sent through an email, is about death from hunger. It said that Allah promised and abide by to feed every hunger. But nowadays, we can see so many people dying around the world because of the starvation in South Africa and other parts of the world. So, what about the promised provision? Where is this promised provision by Allah?
I remember when I was young, maybe 30 years ago, I read a book by a French writer, I think. He was Josué de Castro by name.
That's right.
And the book's title was The Hungry Man. So he approves in that book that enough food is existing in this planet for the whole population of the world. Even if the population is many times more than this,
that's right,
they can
the
be fed and provision
right.
is enough. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left for them treasury, left for them, for example, wares, hoards of this food and provision. But who is stealing it? Who is doing robbery? And who is preventing them to receive and to reach to their food and provision? This is the question. The management of the world is responsible for it. It's like if there is a food or milk for a child and somebody comes and steals it, robs it.
That's
so
right.
Who is the responsible? First of all, this, for example, thief or robber. Secondly, the man, if he was able to defend himself and to keep his provision and his food, and he did not do the defense and reaction in proper time. So now the leaders of the world, the governors of the world, the decision makers, policy makers of the world are responsible. They should be questioned. They should be asked, why you don't let people to receive their provision, receive their food? Why you destroy the food? It is a very bad behavior of them. They started to use vegetables for food, for fuel, for making gasoline for cars.
That's right.
While people are dying from starvation, the number of casualties and victims of starvation is equal to number of casualties and victims of an international and a world war, and they are responsible, but they ignore it. They neglect it. They don't want to listen to these words.
So God's promises are still true, but what is important is about the people around the world who are not using, in fact, the...
Even the head of FAO.
That's right.
International, the UN, United Nations Organization for Food and Agriculture,
right.
Last year, in the year 2007, declared that this is a shame for this civilized world to let thousands of people die every day.
That's right.
From hunger and starvation.
Thank you very much. The next question is about washing the debt. Somehow we call it a kind of, maybe a kind of ablution. Of course, there is no exact equivalent for the Islamic word, but why is it the reason for washing a dead person before burying him? And when we know that process of decomposition starts with death, what is the reason for washing the dead after he dies?
It is a ritual in Islam, like you make ablution, you mentioned.
That's
you
right.
Brought an example. Like you make prayers, hajj, jihad, zakat. This is a kind of ritual in Islam, obligatory for every Muslim which is died. Either he or she is clean or not. Or this is not coming back or, for example, regarding his or her physical situation.
That's
or
right.
Hygienic situation. This is a ritual. This
That's
is
right.
a spiritual work.
Thank you very much.
رسول الله محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله علي ولي الله علي ولي الله علي ولي الله علي ولي الله.
The next question is about the powers of the devil. Could you please give your view on the mysteries like the Bermuda Triangle, which is not, of course, our questions, where the ships and airplanes are said to have disappeared without a trace? Who is responsible for such actions? They can't be of Allah's doing. Do you think that Bermuda Triangle is the power of devil or something like that?
No, there is no idea about it in Islam. First of all, we should go and find it by science
knowledge. That's right. Scientific.
It is not clear. There is no, for example, indication in Islam about Bermuda.
That's right.
Even maybe some people try to make a kind of relation between it and some of our creeds and beliefs, but it is not true.
So let's talk about the devil's powers. In fact, the powers that are in fact given to the devils are given by God Himself.
Of course.
Or no, they have. So what is the philosophy and what is the ideology? What is the reason to give the devils this power?
Devil or Shaitan or Satan, Satan as a symbol of them, it's a very deep story in Islam. Why devil is created? What is its role in, for example, guidance or misguidance of people, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, and why gives it freedom and free hand to do what he wants. Okay. Power of the devil in Islamic view is not a decisive power, which can, for example, force people to do bad things and to make them, for example, sustain miseries or bad, for example, destiny or destination. No. This is a kind of invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the first invitation for mankind to do good, to go to the heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared place for everybody in heaven.
That's right.
But also there is another invitation. In another way, contradiction of it, to evil, only invitation. So no power even to force or to push or to encourage or to facilitate. No, only invitation. Quran says, Satan, devil, is not powerful. He's very weak. You strengthen him.
That's right.
Or her.
By your action. By your action. Bad,
by your
actions.
Acception.
Right.
By your, for example, what say, embarrassment.
That's
and,
right. Yes. Evil deeds.
Yes.
That's right.
And you strengthen him.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next topic that which was sent around email was the divine guidance. Since all divine books have been available for the, in fact, last 3,000 years, it has been easy to answer any questions with the references to these books. What about the period preceding Judaism when, in fact, there was no actual source for divine book to provide the truth for millions of people over countless generations? Is it possible that people were left to act freely for such a long period without any guidance? Moreover, all four divine books seem to have been revealed in Arabian land. So what's the reason?
Some of these, for example, theses or prejudgments are not true, because without books, without, for example, testaments, also guidance was existing. But on that period, the guidance was so simple, only to do good and avoid bad.
That's right.
It does not need, for example, a very big book or reference book or, for example, testament or Bible or Quran or like this. Be good. Don't kill innocent people. Don't do adultery. You know, these were existing even before Torah, before Old Testament.
Old Testament, that's
and
right.
People were responsible according to the guidance they received. The guidance was so simple, so the responsibility was also simple.
That's right.
Okay? And then what was the last part of the question?
In fact, all four divine books seem to be revealed in the Arabian land. What's the reason?
No, no. It is, there is no indication or evidence that all Allah books are revealed in Arabian land. A lot of them, which they exist now, were in Israeli nation, nation of Israel, means Jews.
That's right.
So they were, yes, in this area between, for example, Iraq, Iran, and Palestine, and Syria, and Egypt.
That's right.
And Christians later on spread it all over the world. Their prophet was here, raised and assigned. And other 124,000 prophets, we don't know where they were assigned and where they were sent, and their missionary was in Africa or in Asia or in America. Nobody knows.
It's not exactly clear. That's right.
Nobody knows.
That's right. Next question is on divorce. What's Islam's view on divorce?
Divorce is forbidden in Christianity, in some group, some sects of Christianity. But in Islam, is not invalid and forbidden 100%. But it is not recommended. It is very close to a forbidden action. And there are traditions, narrations from Prophet, peace be upon him and his household, that says it is abghadul halal, the worst valid thing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should go through when the situation is very, very hard and there is no way, no option but this. By any way, it is not considered haram or unlawful, illegal, but it is so bad in Islam and is not recommended because of its bad, for example, impacts on the family, on the society, on children especially. So it is not recommended in Islam. But if for example, is the situation is going to be worse, and, for example, maybe there is a possibility to become, to happen a kind of dispute or challenge or fighting between the wife and husband, or maybe it should be a case of murder or such as this. So talaq and divorce is better than this.
That's right. And that's the end for this session. Thank you very much, dear listeners, brothers and sisters from around the world. We're presenting our program, Question and Answers, from Qom City, Maarif Radio, from Islamic Republic of Iran. For more information, please visit our website on www.radiomaarif, spelled as maarif.ir. You can also send your question through emails to radiomaarif@irib.ir. Dr. Bharati, thank you very much. It was very nice of you to answer these questions. Thank you very much.
Also for your good questions and good direction and management of this program.
Thank you very much. Allah subhanallah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.